God is love, is principle. The Greek said it's principle. God is principle. Principle eros of love, agape. God is a love principle. Thus you can graduate anything that has principle. Thus the guy assumption. No longer is it an assumption, but it's a belief that God is no longer unpersonifiable, or is abstract no longer. We believe that he has been mastered. We believe that the academics of God has been manifested to us. You understand this principle. It's most important to understand the principle that God is love, and that Jesus said, "What I am, so shall you be." And we know that Jesus was God. He mastered it. Wasn't to begin with, because it said he was made perfect through suffering. But God is a state of abstract perfection. God doesn't have to be made perfect. But Jesus became God. That's the mystery. He said, "What I am, and so must you be." Of course, you say, "I'm judging by this literal scripture." Well, you can't do that. I've clearly shown you in the letter that killeth, the little booklet, I've clearly shown to every honest heart that you cannot find inerrancy in the King James. Inerrancy, lack of error, is not in the King James Version. It's quite evident that the King James Version has errors. Now, come on, I want to prepare Professor Rayner, so let's get our mind. We always have to do some renewal, because we have people who come in membership from time to time who've not perhaps established this in their mind. Well, let's think about this and get your minds on this. None of you know that much. I consider any follower who's not looking at me now to be grossly disobedient. Many ways I can determine whether you are true and faithful to Christ is by your lack of willingness oftentimes to reverence the voice of the right idea. Now, if God is a principle, that wasn't, of course, for people who had their backs to me, it's a little difficult, but it's good of you to turn your back, then none of us have an excuse. I've already borne record of you that did not, and I would like to have some reasonable explanation why you do not listen to me when it's so essential. You heard the testimony of the bus that capsized and was brought back. You sit and listen to people talk about people that were put on there by me in those buses in a Herculean and miraculous way, and yet they did not find them until they got to the point of destination. You heard about Brother Rick as the house was on fire, or the stove had caught fire, and then they threw water and had an explosion, and then the child ran, Brother Cordell's child ran and put the picture on that. And that moment, that very moment, at that moment, the flame stopped. You heard all those things. So you have to get some coordination if you want this ideal to be effective for you. And so each one of you that looking tonight, it reflects a disobedience. Even if it was failure to concentrate, it's a disobedience that could destroy your life, but it's presently still going on. I never miss a face. You think I do? I can be looking there, and I'm seeing here. Don't think I miss anything. Because if it's possible for me to do these things, which you see every week, the woman brought back from the dead with her eyes. They have the pictures of her back there last weekend. They were so dead. If you don't believe her eyes were set, look at the little pictures. They caught the eyes set. I hope someone on the camera caught her when she was running around, but he certainly classically caught her dead. She's as dead as anything you want to look at, and you saw her dance around. In fact, it might be good, Brother Miller, just to send those pictures to you and let them take a look at that particular picture. There's two of you in a series. So I want to know the reason for the disobedience of people, when so much depends upon understanding the ideal. And in order to get to the practicality of what God is, we have to get the mythology of God well explained to the satisfaction of all sincere people. That has to be done. And I have come to you that by all these miracles, by all these miracles that I work, by all of them, by all the miracles that I work, it's did you notice anything yet? Someone laid up in his purse, I think, and Philip has been mistakenly thought that he might have taken it. I did not suggest so. Well, there it is. Anyway. I was singing out of this book. She said her testimony was that all I had in my hand was this book that I was singing out of. So I have to use this office, and there's paranormal and charismatic and extra-dimensional faculties to establish clearly that I know all about the mythological God. Because in order to get people beyond the mythological God, someone has to clearly establish that he is in contact to the fullest degree with the supernatural God, or the superstitious God, or the credulous God, whatever one wants to say about it. So I think that I have clearly shown that I have ascended into the uppermost realms of the heavenlies, and that I have dematerialized, and that is a literal truth. Dematerialized, that is a literal truth. I don't think some of you realize just how literal it is. All of you in the staff, you need to get cognizance of the fact that I have done everything that has been spoken of, that the academics, because Carol Stahl can verify that I dematerialized. She's the one that can really do it more effectively. And Carolyn Layton and Richmond Stahl, because I have, and I can when I choose, as I have on these occasions. And I shall if I need to, but it's time now that we drew away from the mythological concern, because I have clearly proven that I know what I'm speaking about. I have ascended into the third heavens, of which there is too many mysterious and marvelous things that I cannot speak of. I have descended into hell, so literally, as it was said of old, God gone to hell and come back, because I have gone into hell numerous times on numerous occasions into the most hellish conditions to deliver people from their bondage. Now, I want you to get the ideal across again. Jesus was not God. He became God. That's the mystery. He was not God. For God is not. God is a spirit. God is a principle. Spiritos, principle. Eros, agape. He is a principle. There is no person in the sense that we have considered God to be an anthropomorphic being in the outreaches of space. God is a principle just as inculcable, just as incarnatable as mathematics. Now, this is where you could understand the mystery of Jim Jones being God personified. If we understood what we were talking about, then the fundamentalists wouldn't get so turned off, because God is as reincarnatable today as he was in the days of Jesus. Not only that, but when a virtuoso in music comes along and demonstrates, it makes it easier for someone else to go beyond that realm of demonstration in the field of music. When a mathematician comes along and masters mathematics of one century, it's easier for someone else then to come and build upon that and go to higher heights. So Jesus said, these things shall you do, and greater. So that clearly understands that we're not having to wait for the same incarnation to come back, but he said, these things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father. Now, if God is love, then it's a mathematical ideal, a principle, and that principle can be concentrated upon, studied, until one graduates fully. You can stop at the sophomore year and be a sophomore if you wish, or a junior, or you can end up in the elementary level, or you can get a master's degree. Masters of God. You can get a philosophical doctorate of philosophy. You can become the ultimate degree, a PhD of God. You can graduate in the finality. Is there something interesting to you, sisters? More interesting than the one that will save your life than no one can until you come into what I have? What are you looking for? Are you looking for something strange or elusive? I am real. I am as real as the breath you breathe and the heartbeat that's in your chest. And until you aspire to my noble ambition and demonstration, until you attain to that, you had better listen attentively, because it's like you being out in blind man's buff, or being out in a chaotic sea of turbulent destruction. You're on the sea of distress, and the master of omnipotency, the generator of your salvation, is here, even now, exuding the energy that caused that bust to be found, exuding the energy that caused the woman with all of her money to be found, because I possessed the thought before it happened. Nothing was new to me. I knew what she was going to speak before she spoke it. I'm fully familiar with it because I've been there. And certainly you have the vivid proof of the picture. And then if you look clearly, you look in my face, you can see that I know all about God. When I go at that dead woman, as I do, you look at that picture, you can tell that I know all about the paranormal, the supernatural, the miraculous. I am fully in attunement and identification and at one with the spirit that you call God. I clearly evidence it if you look at that picture. There's no distress in my face. I have no distress for some of these poses, which I don't like to, because, see, I recognize the little principle. I know I'm a principle bearer, but I don't like for people to get caught up with the bearer and miss the principle, so I don't pose very well for pictures. But in the picture there, you won't see any distress. You will see the precision of a surgeon going at an operation that he's performed a million times. When that goes by you tonight, and you look at the picture of that dead woman, you will see in me someone that knows what he is doing. So you had better listen to me, the divine spirit that is personified here. Now we get down to what is that spirit. The great physician now is here, we said. Certainly not in the middle of my conversation. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing socialist. God has no meaning whatsoever unless you understand what he is. If God is love, that's this, what kind of love? The love of the earth, the love sensualized, the love of the body. What I've seen as we come out of the elements of the love making in the physical, it certainly wouldn't be very high attainment. What is his love? And what does love mean? God is love. It comes from a word meaning perfect equality. In the original, it comes from a word meaning perfect equality. Well, what means perfect equality? A system. A system that guarantees that there'll be perfect equality. You can't have perfect equality, equality by merely hoping it to be. That's hopium. Just like an opium addiction. Some of you have a hopium. You've got another other projection of the realms and beyond. But you've got to have a practical understanding of God. God is love. Then what brings perfect love? Socialism. Apostolic socialism, as it was. Every time the Holy Spirit descended in the New Testament, they sold their possessions. That was the first step. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Signifying death to self, death to capitalism. death to the profit motive seeking, death to cultural seeking, death to the status quoism, death to socioeconomic positions, death to the class structure, death to racism, death to possessions, death to materialism, death to capitalism. Baptism in Jesus' name, death to self, and resurrection to love. And you cannot have a nebulous love. That's why the church is on such a shaky road today. They have no course. You've got to define that love. And that love can only be defined by the divinity of socialism. When God is socialism, God is love. Love is socialism. Socialism means that all the means of the production that man has, the earth, the air, the waterways, the resources are owned by the same people, the family of man, the family of God. There's only one source of ownership, love. But no one can privately own the air, no one can privately own the land. It must be held in common. So then that is love, that is God, socialism. No matter how many people have failed by naming it other things, fascism, communism, that matters not, because always there'll be a false, there'll be propaganda against the real, and there's always a close kinship of the unreal to the real. No matter how many failures have been made, that which has produced the highest self today in the world has been socialism. The greatest souls that you know in the earth picture, Einstein, socialist. George Bernard Shaw, socialist. I'm talking about humanitarians. The great sensitive artist, Pablo, and what is it, Pablo Casals. All the most sensitive, refined superegos. Menninger, who wrote us, the Menninger Institute. Old-time socialist. The early spirits of labor, there's none like Eugene V. Debs to love, to care, to share. He went to prison so many times for his people. The greatest spirits have come out of socialism. I can't think of one. And even the world admits that the greatest are there. Norman Cousins has made most of the political things we have today. Social Security, a socialist. Norman Cousins, the founder of socialism in America. Most everything that he produced was robbed by the establishment. Built upon, modified, but still there. We are the first to, the country is the first to admit you have to have some form of socialism. It's unfortunately a socialism for the rich. I was very chagrined that Mr. Wallace, as some can tell you, I predicted that. More than that, there's another factor in it. I was speaking to Karen that day earlier in the morning, and I became aware of it. And I said something about a block having to be removed. And I shan't go into that particular faculty of my power. And I've been speaking of this necessity of the removal, and I said, hopefully not by violence, but if violence came, he wouldn't take his life, but it would be necessary to incapacitate that he might learn, for a time at least, that he might learn. And he is incapacitated, and we're not at all heartened by this. We're saddened by that. We're saddened that the man Wallace last week was saying, we don't want any control on handguns. We want no control on weapons. And yet there's 30 million of these weapons loose in this country. 30 million handguns. And something, and 90 million, 30 million of the smaller, miniature-type guns. And he says he doesn't want any controls on them. Well, now, maybe since they've shot someone of the right wing, I'm talking, maybe now that some of these gun lobbyists won't have as much pull, because there are just too many weapons, and 60-70% of all crimes of violence involve a handgun. But I thought that when I saw the president saying, anything we have, Mr. Wallace, is yours. And I see the intensive war I'm watching those who do not pay attention. Where I'm looking there, I'm watching there. Mr. Wallace has the entire floor of the intensive ward. You know what an intensive ward is? That's where the dangerous cases have to go. And I thought, that's nice. We want Mr. Wallace to have intensive care. But Mr. Wallace should not be guaranteed the seventh floor until every American is guaranteed the seventh floor when he's in trouble. Mr. Nixon comes on and says, we will give you our hospital plane. We'll take you to the best doctors. We'll give you the best of hospitals. Anything you wish, any hospital you wish to be in. I didn't appreciate that at all until Mr. Nixon tells me that every little white child in poor Appalachia or every black child in Watts or Hunters Point and every Indian child in the reservation is guaranteed such care. I say he is speaking wrong things. He doesn't touch me. These politicians looking after each other's hide does not touch me. There's only one time it seems that God's spirit, this mathematical principle that I am inculcating, only time it can ever equalize is at death or with their own violence that they've supported to use against the poor. Finally, the chickens come home to roost. What you live by, you will die by. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Some of us know well who are the members of the gospel of peace, fully expect to die by the sword makers too. We're fully aware that we can be the victims of their malicious crimes. But now and then, there's one thing about divine socialism, the mathematics of principle. There's one good comforting fact of this divinity, which I am, whatsoever I am. Whatsoever you say I am. Whether you say I ascended from heaven or descended from hell, it matters not. I am the power that saved you from your transgressions, delivered you out of your problems, healed you when you were sick, broke the bondages that were over you that no one could break, took you in when you were a stranger, adopted the babies when there was no place for them to go. Whatsoever you say I am that I am, and I shall fulfill my will. Saith God. I enshroud myself in a mystery, saith God, only that for the purpose of those who are in a lesser plane, who need that comfort of the old superstitions. But to those that are my friends, I will tell you plainly, spare not a word, I am he which was and is to come, and beside me there is no other in this continent today. I am the inculcation of all that you held to be abstract. I am all that you held to be mythological and more. I have more power than that shadow of a God that you once had. I have it in my finger. I can command the waves and the winds to be still if I choose, saith God. There's nothing to materialize a purse or to find money or to be able to recall the elements. This is nothing of that which could be done if you would get your minds and attentions, your love and your devotion centered on that which I am, socialism. If you concentrate on what I am, you'd have more power, more dynamics. The dynamism of the spirit would meet you and would solve your every problem, would eliminate your sorrow. Will wipe away the tears from your eyes, will heal every disease, and finally, as only I have proven can be done these 5 years, stop death in its tracks. Who have you known? Who have you known in all your history but something you read about, and the book is incorrect? The book is full of errors, so you don't even know that happened unless someone comes along and proves that mathematics worked. They used to talk about atomic energy, but you didn't know it worked until someone set off an atomic bomb out in the deserts. You used to hear of electricity, but you didn't know it was a reality until someone brought the poles together. You did not recognize these forces as theory. They could only just be some hogwash or head knowledge. That's the way it is with religion. It could be a lot of head knowledge, particularly when As I prove here, you can't even get a thought straight about the precious Nazareth consciousness, the precious Jesus consciousness. You don't even know who his grandfather is. You don't know where he ascended to. You don't know whether he went to Egypt or whether he didn't. Whether he stayed in Jerusalem. One writer says he stayed with his parents and kept the feast of the Passover every year. You don't know whether he died with one thief converted or whether they were both scolding him and rebuking him. One scripture says the thieves railed on him. Another scripture says one of the thieves. Well, the reality was one did. The other said, rebuke to the one that did, because I remember the Spirit. You see, I know I'm the eternal Spirit. I know I can collect on that in the precognitive. I go back into the pre-existence and collect on that, and I can see the visible image as he looked across from that T-shaped tree. It wasn't a cross like you have it, but I can look at that T-shaped tree, and I can hear him rebuking him, and I said, this day I'm going to take you on the other side, and we will commune together. Just as we are here, we shall be there. I didn't say this day you'll be in paradise, because you don't go from there to paradise. You go into the first heaven, and that's not paradise. But I said, this day, we'll start over on the other side. We'll communicate, and we'll continue our perfection on the other side. So that's what really happened. You say, why do you speak with such authority? I speak with such authority because I have reached the realm of honesty, purity of thought, compassion and love, the personification of everything that is real, genuine and pure and honest and kind and loving. I have mastered God. I have a PhD in God. I have outdone all the degrees in this continent in God. I have concentrated God in this body. God is no longer a superstition, but God is real, real, real. My body was once flesh of your flesh and dust of the earth and the cheapest of mortality, but I took that and heard of the mathematics called God. And I heard what I had said in former days, though being in the form of man, though as Jesus was being in the form of a servant, he considered it. He was a servant too. And I heard him say, though I was a slave, though I was in the form of slavery, though I was in the form of a servanthood, I considered it not robbery to be equal with God. And I looked at that principle and found that mathematics, and I recognized that I had lost my inheritance. Immortality. My father and my mother were not my father and mother. My Ku Klux Klan father was not my father. I recognized that my father was infinite spirit, that my whole creation, my whole causation had come from divine socialism. And I looked up from that poor bed by the railroad tracks, and I decided mastering in the spirit. And I mastered materially. And I said to myself with a bursted appendix when I was nothing more than 10 years of age, I said, I am God. And I walked out of my bed Hebrew, and I have been considering that revelation ever since. And now I have perfected it. There's no longer any chance for me to do evil. It's gone from me. That's the mystery you don't understand. I could not sin. I am so born of God. It's nothing that anyone else cannot implant in their consciousness. If you will take time to learn of someone who has reached into that realm and has got into the coffers of divine knowledge, if you just follow this principle, it's appropriable to you. It's appropriative to anyone that wants to follow. But some people, they're going to jump in easy. I've been doing this for many days, many years. I've been specializing. I said, I have been specializing in God Almighty. And I started specializing at that young age, and I considered no other father but divine science, divine socialism, divine love, humanitarian love. And as I say love, God is socialism. So I say, thanks socialism, God is love. Socialism is God. And I specialized, and I specialized. And I worked it out of my body, the realms of mortal memory. I went down memory lane. And I had reeled long enough in the realms of mortality. I had reeled long enough under the influences of what I was supposed to be. I heard the revolutionary voice within me that I am the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I kept hearing it in the trees. I kept hearing it in the birds. The pictures that my mother has when I was just knee-high to a grasshopper, 3 years of age, leading a billy goat and wild animals of all sorts, and crow on my shoulder, and an owl in my hand, and a snake crawling right behind me,
with all these animals in procession. Even as a child, I had a kindredship. So it started early. It started in a former life. As John the Baptist, as he said of John the Baptist, he was Elias, which was and is to come. So don't think you can get there overnight, but it is attainable. You must be born again. And the beauty of it is, my precious comrades, you will be born again. You shall be born again. And if you are born of God completely, if you graduate fully of the substance and processes of divine science, socialism, God, if you fully get God in you, you will not commit sin. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. So there's no evil in me. I couldn't do evil if I would want to. It's God. I have no desire. The desire is God. Say, well, this is, you're saying you're not able to make mistakes. We're talking about an entirely different realm now. We're talking about purity of consciousness. God is a purity of consciousness. That's not inerrant judgment. That's not inerrant moral or mortal judgment. It is a morality of the most ultimate nature. It is a perfection in morality, a perfection in ethics. There is no danger of me doing anything immoral. To your standards, it might be immoral, but it will be the most moral, the most altruistic that you could hope for. Anything I do is divinely good. And if you have a mind to know the Spirit, you will know what I do is divinely true and divinely real. You don't have to be a vain theist to get that either. You can just look around and watch the inner workings and the outer picturing, and you will see clearly that I am the ultimate of honesty that you've seen. You say, "Are you mean to say you're the most honest person in America?" Indeed. I should be now being elected the President of the United States. Not to mention, I'm not using my supernatural power, although I have more of that than any of your so-called healers. I've got more than any faker that ever claimed power or any so-called mystic. I have more in my hand than anyone you met, because you don't know anyone in your day that can materialize things as I did the briefcase right before your eyes. You've not met anyone who can go through a wall, but I can. It's not easy, but I can do it. You've not met anyone that can turn water, as Eva Pugh said to someone in Canada that wants us to bring those white people up, they want to send, they've got 60 people already want to be brought on a bus. She said, "I sent 11 pitchers of water." And said, finally, I said, "I'm tired of sending any more water. He only turns it to wine." So Sister Pugh said to this man, said, "I sent 11 pitchers of water or 10 pitchers of water, and everyone I turn, send it, then he turns to wine. So there's no need for me to send any more water." This was just her joking way of getting the message across. You don't know anybody can do that. But I don't establish myself by those things. You notice I never establish myself by those things. I establish myself because of being pure love, pure justice, purest of honesty in a practical way. Not some kind of impractical thing as they, well, the anointing's on him. He heals the sick. That isn't worth a tinker's to me if it isn't backed up by character. So unimpeachable, it's the impeccable character. Purity of character. There's not a flaw in the character. That's what's important. It's not the polish. It's not the dynamics. It's not the singing. It's not the sermonizing. It's not grammar. It's character. That's what God is. God is a spirit. God is love. Spirit's too abstract a word. It isn't the original word anyway. The closest thing to the original scripture is God is love. And King James, as dirty a king as he was, drunk as he was, and he was a mean king, King of England, 1611, he was mean. History will show you how mean a man he was. To send ships to Africa to put people in chains and to throw little babies that couldn't make the journey to the rocks below, as the King of England did, under the orders of the King of England, and throw pregnant mothers to the shark. And then you got the nerve to tell me that such a king can tell you what God had to say?
He would know God from a wind in a breeze. You know the old timers, that shows the Ancient of Days in me. When you make wind, you understand what I'm talking about. If you're an old timer, you'll know that. You youngsters have another word I don't like so well, but make wind. Some people wouldn't know God from making wind. And King James couldn't tell God from making wind. And he doesn't. He cannot get it. Yet he can get it. He's got things in there that are incorrect. Slaves, servants, obey your masters. That went out long before the dispensation of the apostolic age. That was not in the original scripture. Slaves, obey your master. So it was not there. There's two servants, obey your masters. Obey those that have rule over you. They wanted to encourage serfdom and slavery, and they did. Racism in America was encouraged by such damnable things as that. The history's inaccurate. So then why wouldn't you take someone that comes along? That's the only thing that keeps you from accepting truth. Is your Bible stands in your way, which is in error. If it were not in error, then you could stand on it. But honey, you can't stand on anything. There's not a page you go that you don't find an error. There's truth there, but who pointed you to the truth? Did you ever know the truth of socialism? And all the believers were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. Divine, economic, social, racial inclusiveness, total equality, total economic, social, and racial equality, total socialism. Anybody ever preach that to you? No. Preachers wouldn't have Cadillacs that preach that to you. They'd have to go around the same used clothes if they preach that. They would not be able to have big cathedrals and preach that. The truths were there, but you wouldn't have gotten the truths. You would have gotten something like, I hate to go through this every time. Maybe we'll get all the memberships at one point, at one time. That sermon might be reusable to keep it, to go over another time if it has to be. Well, let's look here. As I said, the great truths are there. But you needed a honest spirit to bring you the truth. Healing's there, but there's also cursing. Cursing the little children. How are you to know what's right? Remember Elisha? The bald-headed Elisha, the prophet? Some children mused at him having a bald head. Children muse at me all the time. I think it's fun. Someone joked at me today, something, I don't know what it was. And I never said a word. It was a little inappropriate. They were in the presence of someone else. But I didn't think anything about it. Because I thought if I can't stand on my own merits, even though followers would try to undermine you sometimes unconsciously, if you can't stand on your own merits, why get excited? No use to get excited over someone making a little, and this wasn't amusement. This was a kind of a cut. But Elisha just had little kids, little baby children, came up to him and made fun of him because he had a bald head. They didn't make fun. They said they joked. And it said God was incensed because the children did this. Now how ridiculous. God, or Elisha, then ordered she-bears to come out of the wilderness, the woods, and to destroy all those 40 children. Why, you wouldn't go across the street to worship a God like that. God, the God you know, didn't do that. That's the God of the King James that carried up some of these old myths that are inaccurate. And no God did such a thing as this. But there are great truths also. Elias has already come. You knew him not. Reincarnation. You can't understand anything about divine law unless you understand reincarnation. God personified in a body. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he'd seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He wrestled all night with him at Peniel, Genesis 32:30. Exodus 24, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God, not heard, but saw the God of Israel. See, God always had a body, beautiful truth. To see that the perfection that you've held in escrow, the perfection that you've held out unattainable, that the preachers have dangled in front of your face saying, give me your money so I can drive in my Cadillac. that perfection that's been held out of your reach has always been obtainable. It's always first present. It's that it will always have a body, always has, and always will. Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The same God that was at Moses' day, the same God that walked and talked with Solomon, the same God that he said, Solomon said, why, his hair is as black as a raven. And Isaiah 7:20 said, he is shaved with a razor. The same God that wrestled in a human form with Jacob all night. The same God that some murderous king, Nebuchadnezzar, 567 years before Christ, 567, looked in a fire furnace, even though he persecuted the Jews. He looked in the fire furnace, and there he not only saw Ishak, Meshach, and Abednego, but he saw Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in the body. If a heathen king could see more than you, the children of promise, you who have sacrificed, you've been loving in the pursuit of divine mind, that come along with me in this battle for truth, if a dirty king could see more than you, what kind of equality would there be in the universe? But I'm glad he's no respecter of persons. The same God that Nebuchadnezzar saw will be foreseeable and visible in every day, in every year. He's always had a body. He always will have a body. I am his body in this continent today. God personified. I've said it for 20-some years publicly and for 30-some years privately, and I'm still living for you that are afraid I'm going to die. Great truth. Great, great truth. Manoah and his wife saw him, and all the prophetesses and prophets. But the errors, there are many. You don't know your right hand from your left without a prophet. That's why he said, how can you hear without a prophet? Our preacher, how can he preach lest he be sent? For it is written in 1 Chronicles 21:1, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. 2 Samuel 24:1 talks about the same event but tells it differently. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Here it was supposed to be David numbering Israel and God's ordering it. And up there it was Satan in the first chapter. Now what is it? Is Satan God the same thing? Well, there must be something to be considered there. Please get this, because you can't get her message until you get this. No use, no way trying. You can't get it until you do. Myth. Abraham had only one son. Abraham had two sons. Hebrew 11:17. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. No, he didn't. He had a concubine. Couldn't have had two sons. Not by Hebrew customs. He couldn't have had two sons. Now, what did he do? But it was Keturah, his wife, or his concubine. Do you really know? I just take one subject at a hand. You don't know a thing. Genesis 25 says, then Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. K-E-T-U-R-A-H. But 1 Chronicles 1:32 decidedly says, Keturah, Abraham's concubine. So I don't know why you object to hearing someone that has character. Then when he proves supernatural power to heal the sick, done nothing but purity with his gift. I've healed more people by this personification of my divine graduation in mathematical formulas of God's nature, in this divine science, as a graduate, as a PhD in God. I have done more good than all people put together here have done with their lives. There's no healer in America or in the continents today that has been able to do as much in the supranatural, in the parapsychological, in the paranormal, in the extra-dimensional, in the miraculous. No one has begun to do what I've done. But no one has begun to attain to the love, to adopt 8 babies, to keep on taking in children, to feel concern for every person that comes in, a concern that treats everyone alike. Has no fear or favor for physician. Will not allow someone to come in and
push them around because of their money, who gives no particular respect for anyone, only for the love. If he sees love in you, he accepts you. But if you come in with a master's degree in the world or come from the richest family, if you don't come through that door with love, I don't give you any attention. If you come through that door with love, you can be a concubine's son, and I will treat you as a king, because love is what I want to see. Divine love. God is love, and I am that spirit. Love. So if you then, the only way you have to argument against me is by your religion, and even your religion preaches socialism. It's the high point of every time the Holy Spirit came into the believer. Every time the Holy Ghost came, they sold their possessions. And it was the only time that someone was struck dead, when they kept back some for themselves. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, just as the two dropped dead, the three here, and were restored. Only because they withheld. In that day, no one restored them. They dropped dead, but no one brought them back. Something to consider. Now, when we say introduction to socialism, I haven't got any time for that. You don't then say, recognize what you're saying. You have no time for God. For God is socialism. That's why they've lied to you. That's why they bombard you with their evil. Every little movie. Little boys were looking at something, Stephen and his friend, Michelle. They were looking at a movie. And I was resting. I didn't go to bed last night. I was resting on the Davenport. And I said, I want you to remember the influences of Adamic man, capitalist man. Capitalism is the devil. If you want to call something devilish, it's possessiveness of things, the right to have things, to compete for things. And we're talking about this, the teacher today was speaking about this Bremer that murdered attempted to assassinate Mr. Wallace. He said he was a good student. He wasn't aggressive, only on sports. Highly competitive in football, highly competitive in sports. He was aggressive there, but he said he really wasn't aggressive. The fools, that's the indication of the repression of this young man. He was aggressive. He was capitalistic. Sports make people aggressive. You got to win. You got to win. You beat down someone. You don't cooperate. American sports is not cooperation. It's competition. And this teacher was talking about how competitive it was as a virtue on the news tonight. He was a very competitive student. That's what makes murderers. Competition finally ends up ultimately in killing your brother. Cain slew Abel because he was a competitor. It always is capitalism that causes murder. It may start out as a little innocuous thing, but finally it'll end up causing you to murder your brother to get what he has. You want to get what he has, and you cut his throat, knife him in the back, push him down, walk over him, but finally capitalism is the devil personified. It's murder incorporated. That's what led Cain to kill Abel on that awful morning. He wanted what his brother had. He wanted that esteem. He wanted that position. So he murdered him. Capitalism is the murderer. Socialism is God the lover. If you can get it simply in your mind, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But the movie last night, and I will close with this, said a strange voyage, or a voyage into some idiot place. I don't know what to call it. What was this? Is Stephen around here? Tim, you were there. You were incredible. What was it? What was it called? Incredible journey, voyage into somebody's stupid body. Fantastic voyage. And they're clever with this thing. You've got to be sharp. The powers of the earth are ruled by the prince of the air. Capitalism is ruling the air today. Its day is about done. But right now, the prince of the air, capitalism, self-possessive, competitive, murderous competition. That's the devil. That's what you need to fear. Every time you hear capitalism, you know that's the devil, and fear it with all your heart. As it's that which is in you, it's that which is in the collective, whether it's inwardly or outwardly pictured, it's the most devious force there is in all human existence. On this show, it showed doctors and, of course, the usual thing. The communists were trying to get a secret, and the capitalists had it. The man was there with a blood clot in his brain, and if they could get that blood clot removed, and there was no way to surgery to perform it, to go in and operate, it was inoperable. So they had to deminiaturize. They had a new method of scientific wonder that they could deminiaturize by atom control and computations of certain formulas, which we need to do that too. They'll be doing it, but we're going to not see it done until socialism comes. They could reduce the size, because everything happens in science fiction.